Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. I just sense the Spirit of the Lord wanting to minister, so I'm going to obey Him. But the Spirit of the Lord would say, beloved, that this is an hour in which I am drawing you close to my heart. This is an hour in which I am separating and cutting away from you all that which would be unprofitable, all that which would hinder and hold you back from receiving the fullness of my blessing and the fullness of the impartation of the Spirit of God in your life, which I desire to give you. I say, be not surprised, be not dismayed because of the attack of the enemy. I have seen how you have been sorely tried, but I am the Lord that says to you, even at this moment, that I am your God who will cause your fingers to fight, your hands to war. I have girded you with strength for the battle. Even now I am strengthening you, says the Lord, that you shall arise with new strength and with new courage, with vigor and the ability to put the enemy to flight through my word. You are, yea, equipped with the very sword of the Spirit. I have given you the helmet of salvation, the armor of God, that you shall be able to stand in the evil day, and that you shall go forth into that which I have placed before your feet. You may not see a distance greatly before you, but you shall know that as you take one step after another, that I will make the way straight before your feet, and you shall not be turned aside. You shall be able to declare, as my prophet Micah, yea, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise, and when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Therefore rejoice, for the light of life is with you, and I shall lighten your path. I shall cause the darkness and the clouds to be dispelled, and you shall rejoice, for you shall see the work of the enemy brought to naught, and you shall walk forth into a new anointing and greater victories, and you shall see prayers that have been hindered in long in being answered. You shall see answers come forth, and you shall rejoice and praise the name of your God, says the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We receive that. We know, Lord, the enemy has truly fought, but Lord, that you are our victory. We know, Father, in the Word of God, sometimes the warriors of ancient Israel, they fought for the length of a whole day. They were tired in battle, but God, you strengthened them, and as they persisted, you gave them victory. And we thank you for that, Lord. Just as you're no respecter of persons, and more are with us than those who are against us. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the chariots of the Lord, the angels of God, who are ministers to the heirs of salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, as we were sharing on yesterday's broadcast, and I'm sharing what the Spirit is saying to the church, and that is, He's bringing us into revival. He's saying, turn from our wicked ways, turn from the things that have held us back, the lukewarmness, the indifference, the lackadaisical response we've had, the lack of zeal, and He's wanting us to return to the fervor of our first love. And we've looked at the history of the church, and we've seen, you know, they started with great zeal and fire, but what happened? Each page of the church history, if you will, has come forth in the some line of restoration. It's run the same course, and that's not God's fault, it's human failure, it's human fallen nature. When everything seems to dry up and die out, then we call upon God. Isn't that the pattern that ancient Israel had? God gave them judges and things were great for a time, but then they slipped back to their old ways and then they were oppressed by the enemy and they called out for deliverance and God sent another judge. Well, human nature hasn't changed, but when we call upon the Lord, this makes it possible for God to come. He's a merciful God. He must have some place to put his spirit, right? I mean, we have the Spirit of God. He dwells in our spirit, but only empty vessels can be filled to overflowing. And if you can hear this, when we're filled with our own ways, when we think ourselves rich and increased in goods spiritual, if you will, God can give us nothing. When we think we've got it made, we've got the final revelation, beloved, God is not going to, he's not going to attack or come against that lukewarmness unless we're willing to admit it. To the hungry soul, the scripture says, every bitter thing is sweet. The crumbs tasted good to the Syrophoenician woman, but well-fed children despise even the choice things. Isn't that true? Isn't that human nature? Those who have taken in so much have not labored to give it out. We're like the children of Israel. You know, they despised even angels' food. They murmured. They wanted the leeks and the garlics of Egypt. Beloved, we have a choice to make in this hour. The early church ran well for a season. Wasn't that right? I mean, they saw miracles. They were in unity. Everything went, you know, fell before it. I mean, even though they were persecuted, the church seemed to grow on the blood of the martyrs. There were great revivals. There were great works of the Holy Spirit that were accomplished. But by the third or fourth century, the church as a whole compromised to escape the cross. They sold out to the devil, they backslid, and it went down into the dark ages. They lost the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit. Not totally, there certainly was God always had a remnant. The gifts, the life, the power, the joy in general, everything. The church, in a sense, became a prodigal, left the Father's house and went to feeding swine. But the devil found he couldn't stamp out the early church by killing them. For everyone he killed, for every martyr, two sprang up. Like the children of Israel, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Wasn't that true? As we read what happened in Exodus, that in spite of their persecution, God was with the children of Israel. And as we look at the early church, heaven was real to them, far more real than earth. In fact, they seem to have lived only for the next age. As you read the writings of Paul, his epistles, they believed the return of the Lord was nigh. That was their longing, their goal, to be delivered from this present evil world. And it was God's desire to restore the backslidden, prodigal church at once when she fell, just as he must have desired at once to restore the human race in the beginning when they fell with Adam and Eve. But he could not. Sin had entered in. Human fallen nature was too weak. But he did give a promise. He sent a Redeemer. And his name is Jesus. God also wanted to take the children of Israel right into Canaan from Kadesh Barnea. When he brought them out of Egypt, it was only a short journey, 40 days. But they frustrated his purpose and desire. They grieved God, the scriptures tell us, and limited the Holy One of Israel, just as it has always been, because weak human nature is that way. And it's only through the power of God. I'm thinking now of the disciples who lived and walked and talked with Jesus for 3 years, but in his final hours, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he took his disciples, but he said, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." But what did they do? They all fell asleep. And he said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And it wasn't until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And beloved, that's what it's going to take in this hour. In our flesh, we are weak, but God can give us the fullness of the Spirit so we can do those great exploits that he said we would do, that we would do even greater things, that the works that Jesus did, greater in quantity, greater as it reached across the world into the nations of the world. You know, just as the children of Israel, they stopped going forward, they went to milling around, and their carcasses fell in the wilderness, as God said, because they said, you know, we're not able to enter into Canaan, we're not able to conquer the giants. Only two descending voices, Joshua and Caleb, said, we're well able to take the land. And beloved, whenever we stop going forward, we go to milling around. When an individual stops going forward for God, what happens? We begin to go in a circle. So it was with the early church. When they ceased to go forward, they started wandering in a circle and became lost in the dark ages, if you will. I realize I'm just generalizing, but the devil found he couldn't destroy them or stop their march by persecuting or killing them. So he removed the cross. He offered them titles and positions, honor, salaries, prophets of every kind, and they fell for it. We see this in our own day. We don't want to take up the cross. Jesus said, you can't be my disciple unless you take up the cross. They no longer needed to look to God for their protection and support. They were like the nations around about them, just as the children of Israel when they rejected God as their king. And so it is with our great church bodies today. History repeats itself in every movement through human weakness and failure. Well, beloved, it sounds rather bleak what I've been sharing, but there's a bright end to the story, and that is God will have the last word. I have more to share, and with the Lord's help, we'll conclude this message tomorrow on what the Spirit is saying. I hope you can join me. If not, please feel free to go to our website, www.unveilchrist.org, and you can listen to the broadcasts at any time, and know that they're available for your listening convenience. I invite you now to share your prayer requests with me. The announcer is going to give our contact information. I love you, pray for you every day, and thank you for joining me today. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.